The Viridian Nutrition range of 200-plus award-winning products includes vitamins, minerals, herbs, nutritional oils, specialty supplements, tinctures, and balms, all formulated to be healthful, efficacious, and pure. By choosing our Viridian Nutrition range, you are one step closer to your goal of 100% wellness. Ethical vitamins with an organic heart. Available at all Browns outlets. Browns and you.
Hello, and welcome to the She Word Mums, conversations that mums rarely have. But really should. I am your host, Nerissa Massa, and I am excited to be discussing another huge topic that impacts most mothers. How our identity shifts after becoming a mother. That quiet, slow unraveling of the person you were before. Your hobbies, your work, your friendships, even your sense of humor and your style can sometimes feel like it's all fading behind nappies, night feeds, and mental load. Terms such as mummy brain are used to poke fun, but in actual fact, a mum's brain changes more during pregnancy and postpartum than it does at any other point in her life. The areas that control memories, emotion, and decision-making are reduced in order to make way for the brain to rewire itself to allow for the protective mama bear instinct to kick in. I looked up some statistics on this topic and further confirmed how incredibly normal this feeling is and how important it is to talk about it. 62% of British mums say they have lost a part of their identity since becoming a mother, and mothers feel a sense of grief when they become mums because of the sudden loss of a part of who they were and the lives they lived. Apart from the psychological and neurological changes, another change that is part and parcel of becoming a mum is physical change. Some women are lucky enough to keep their body shape pre and post pregnancy, but for the majority of women, our body changes. Our boobs grow, our tummy becomes wobbly, and our pelvic floor is definitely not as strong. The societal expectations to snap back definitely does not help. And for so many women, looking in the mirror, especially in the early postpartum months, is hard because they do not recognize the woman looking back at them. In more recent times, more attention has been given to the transformation of a woman into a mum. And a term has been specifically conjured up to define this: matrescence. Matrescence is defined as the physical, psychological, and emotional transition a woman goes through when becoming a mother. It is often compared to adolescence as the other period in one's life where so many changes happen, such that the person is almost unrecognizable after the transition. I am so glad to be discussing this topic, which we are going to handle from all angles, with three amazing women and mums with me today. I'm going to start with Tez.
Hello.
Known as Tezara Saliba, but everyone calls her Tez.
Yes.
When was the last time someone called you Tezara?
I don't know. A long time ago.
So Tez and I go way back. We don't actually know how long or where we met, but definitely way back. And I'm sure if you've seen the She Word before, you've seen Tez because she's been on the show a few times. Tez is a teacher, an actress, a singer, a previous radio DJ, a wife, and a mum. And I'm sure plenty of other things. So I'll come back to you in a minute and you can fill in those gaps for us.
Sure.
My next guest is Maria Muscat. Welcome to the She Word. Maria and I were at university together. So in our previous life, both members of the student council. So we definitely know each other pre-kids. Maria is a Gestalt psychotherapist. I got that right?
Yeah.
Who also runs group therapy sessions called 'Cause It Takes a Village, specifically for mums with children aged under three. And so this is a topic that Maria discusses a lot with the mums she meets. Maria, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Missed anything about you?
I'm also a mum.
Of two girls.
Two girls.
How old are they?
6 and 1.5.
Perfect. So you are perfectly aligned for this show. And my last guest, Donna Cardona, founder of My Mama, which I'm sure if you're a mum, you've definitely heard of. And My Mama, for those who don't know, provides courses and supports both mums and dads throughout pregnancy and early parenthood. Donna is also a mum of four and is a guest on The She Word for the very first time.
Thanks for having me.
To have you.
I'm excited.
What are the things about you that I have missed? Fill in the gaps.
No, you did. You did mention most of them. Mainly, I'm a mom. I'm a mom, but also, of course, as we'll talk about, many other things.
Yes. Tez.
Yeah.
What did I miss about you?
You didn't miss anything, I would say. So.
Because I mean, you're a long list of different things.
Hey, that's because none of the industries I'm in pay very well. So you have to juggle things.
Or you're a jack of all trades.
You have to be. No, you got them all down, I would
Perfect.
Say.
Look, I'm going to start off with the very first question. And that is, before we all became mums, I'm sure we read at least one book and did our research and thought we were in some way, shape or form prepared for parenthood. And if you're anything like me, we were not. Nothing prepares you for the sleep deprivation, at the same time the new love you feel for the newborn, the hormone swings all over the place and so much more. But what no one prepares you for is perhaps the change in you. Did you see that? And did that come as a surprise?
Yeah, I can start it from a personal experience. Like, I actually remember a photo my husband and I took before we went to hospital to have the baby. And we look at it and we say, how naive we were. And then we have the after and we said, okay, it was so different than we actually thought it would be. As you said, it's the change is like on so many levels. I mean, you're used to function from a place of a professional, of a woman for 20, 30 years. And suddenly you are, that changes and you're giving 24/7.
Life is never plain sailing, but your period is one challenge that shouldn't ever stop you or stand in your way. Tampax is the number one combination for comfort, protection and discretion. Tampax tampons are independently tested so you can be certain that there's no harmful substances present. Tampax adapts to your unique body shape to provide you protection even when you're living life to the full, because nothing should stop you, period.
So this tiny human that is fully dependent on you and that has massive implications on all aspects.
And if you had to say physical, psychological, emotional, if you had to just say one, what was the biggest one? And we'll dive deeper into all of those three.
I think physical and psychological, I would say.
Mm. Yeah.
Like the way my body looks and my moods, the emotions and all that. I think those are the two areas I believe that.
Tez?
Well, naturally you have a physical change. My body certainly didn't bounce back, but I'm also 34. Oh, so yeah. There's going to be a change, I suppose, with or without myself having had a kid. And the fact that I had the C-section, there's a further change, but I guess it's to be expected.
Okay, that's interesting. So physical changes for you were somehow an expectation. So it wasn't...
Not an expectation. I mean, I was like...
You embraced it.
I wouldn't say so. I don't accept it in the sense that I don't have this like love for the body I have now. It's just, it is what it is, kind of.
Interesting. Donna?
So for me, with my firstborns, my firstborn were twins. So yeah. That's why plural. I was young, but I think it was a textbook case of focusing just on the birth and the pregnancy. But after that, I was like all over the place in the sense that it was a textbook case of me losing my own identity.
Okay.
I was a mom for 3 full years until they started school, but that was pretty much it.
And the other part of Donna was...
Nowhere to be found. Okay. It did affect me quite a bit, in fact.
So would you say more psychological?
Psychological, yes, absolutely.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, and this is it's a very common theme as well that I find with women I work with, also a bit in my personal life. And I think it never fully comes back as it was, you know. I believe we can integrate aspects of the self, of the old self into the new self. But, I mean, if I was training 7 days a week and if I was doing research to come up with the latest, that changes, the format of that changes.
I'm listening to you speak about, you know, integrating your old self. So would you say then, rather than losing your identity, would you say it's more accurate to say you change your identity? Is that the word we should be looking at? Or is that a wrong terminology? Rather than saying it as a negative, like loss of identity, Is it a change in identity?
That's how I see it. It's like there is a shift. However, the process into like the transition is hard. It's usually hard for some women. the actual transition to the new identity, to becoming a mom with your own likes and dislikes, and that the transition is hard. I wouldn't say it's a loss of identity. It's a shift. It's a change which comes with a lot of hard work as well, with a lot of finding myself, soul searching.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think it's a bit different though for when it's your firstborn and then it's mm-hmm. your secondborn, sort of your first experience? Very often you don't know what hits you, what's going to hit you. And you just focus on being this perfect mom. Like, this is what you're meant to be doing. Like, focusing 100% on your newborn, on your child, and anything else related to you, sort of you feel guilty even thinking of doing something just for yourself, or something that you used to do before and now has to take. We close it in a cupboard and lock it away.
Wow. God, and I saw Tez's reaction. You close it in a cupboard and lock it away. I can relate to that with my firstborn. And I struggled. Tez. Go!
Without being rude, but I genuinely don't want to sound rude as I say this, okay? But if you got a part of you and locked it in a cupboard, most obviously you're going to struggle.
Yes.
What are you expecting? That all of a sudden you're gonna you're surprised that you're in a shape, in a shell that you can't recognize? Most obviously, if you literally got yourself and locked her in a cupboard.
Yes.
She don't lock her anywhere. You bring her center and you leave her where she is, and you go through your next chapter with you as you. She doesn't go anywhere. She comes with you. You built her from scratch, man. She took you through childhood. She took you to your teenagers. She doesn't go anywhere. She doesn't belong in the cupboard. She comes with you on this journey, and she, sorry, can I say fucked up?
Yes.
She fucks up when you fuck up. She's with you. She's not a she. She's you, guys.
Yeah. But you're speaking from a place of maturity.
My watch went off to relax, man. I get it, okay, but I don't relate to what you're saying at all.
So how were the first, let's say, 3 months of your child's life?
Pause a bit.
Yes.
Is this the only change you've had in your life? Did your life not change when you yourself went abroad, packed up your life in Malta and moved?
Yeah.
Did you close Malta, Nerissa, and put her in a cupboard? No.
No.
You took her with you to the UK. Did you not have this massive change when you finally graduated? You threw your hat in the air and you're like, yep, what happens now? What job am I going to find? Did you not have an issue with your identity then? You didn't close her in a cupboard. You took her with you with your degree you worked your ass off for. And you went and you looked for jobs and you went through that chapter. When you have your husband, now your kids, why are we treating, sorry, but let's just fucking say it. Why are we treating going into parenthood as if it's not another major chapter in your life, that you take who you are with you and the lessons that you learned with you as you also navigate parenthood? We do it for every other major, what's the word I'm looking for? Major milestone in our lives. Why do you, sorry, I did not,
okay.
And I don't say that with any, you know, it came across as that, but why would you close her in a cupboard?
I want to pick at so many things.
Please, pick.
And because I think, and we've briefly spoken about this before, months ago now, how refreshing it is and how I wish mothers of newborns or mothers-to-be could just listen to you and take a pause, because you are absolutely right. Why would you lock your old self in a cupboard? Why would you not bring her with you on this journey? Because she brings with her maturity, especially now that we're becoming mothers in older, you know, in our 30s rather than at 21. She brings with her skills from her professional career, skills from 30 years of life. So why wouldn't you? I get it. So I get, like, we've been through all of the stages in life. You become a wife, you know, that changes your status. You become, in my case, an accountant. But none of them had these implications, both psychologically, emotionally, and physically on me like that of becoming a mother. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you make the conscious effort to make sure that you were not going to be carried away?
Absolutely.
With it?
Let me tell you the why. Let's get to your why. I was young. I was...
Sir, can I stop you? I know I'm coming across as this judgmental person.
No.
You guys watching, no, I no, don't no. wish
it's
to be.
Not at
I,
all.
I, it is just the it's way I feel. I could easily have, so to speak, fallen into the trap, so to speak. Mm. But I made a conscious effort. I just feel like I'm coming across as being judgmental and I don't mean to be.
No.
So I just want to clarify.
It's a different perspective and a different experience.
Exactly.
You're coming across as refreshing at this point because you bring something to the table, which yeah.
But
is,
I want to say it because somebody listening and watching might be like,
for sure,
everything is perfect in her life. Let me...
But let me go back to
disclaimer.
Let me go back to our intro where I said, you know, these are conversations that moms rarely have, but really should. And if we're trying to represent all moms, we need to. Not everyone goes through this massive identity shift. We're making those that go through it feel seen, but those that are currently struggling, you know, we also want to tell them, hey, it doesn't need to be like this. And actually, even if it is like this, you are going to get out of it. And those who are wanting to become moms but are scared they're going to fall into this trap, we're also saying there is another option, guys. Don't let having kids, don't Sorry. Let this loss of identity scare you from becoming a mom. And I guess the whole point of this show is to make every one of those women feel seen. The women who perhaps got carried away and did lock a part of themselves in a cupboard, we're saying, hey, there is life after postpartum, after the first early years of childhood. You will get out of it. You will find yourself again. Even if that person is different to your pre-child self, there is always room for you to grow. What in which direction will depend on you. But to those who, in this day and age, I feel is becoming a more common issue, right? Becoming a mom, because you've got so much to lose in terms of your life, your profession, you know. And they're scared because so many people are like, your life's going to end. You're never going to sleep again. You're never going to go to the gym again.
Let's change the narrative.
Exactly.
If that, yes. those are the people you're hanging out with, you need to move away. Sorry. You need to. You need new friends. I'm very sorry. Dawn, I'm so sorry. You are in the middle of something. And I totally...
Not at all.
Shattered your train of thought.
So basically, explaining sort of where all that came from. It came from a place of me being young, me being immature, me being not confident, me being not completely unaware of the changes that were coming my way. Back then, I had no support and I did not think I needed support. I didn't want the support as well. So it was, you know.
So you thought you were going to be super mom?
Of course.
Who does it all?
Of course. I had stopped my...
Just tell us.
No. I stopped working for 3 years, three entire... Back then, no child cares.
Yes.
It wasn't, you know, a thing back then. So yes, that it all came crumbling down, basically.
Yeah. And this is also the experience that I have personally been through, and you know, also in my work, most mothers go through this. I think in my experience, it was like mostly like somehow I thought I would slide into it, like Tess is saying. Somehow I remember that photo, I did all that. I will do this. I will. But it didn't work out that way. It didn't. And then I had to go through the process of slowly rebuilding myself as well. What prompted this loss of identity, this, I think it just came about because of the emotional, psychological changes. I didn't say, I will not fall into the trap. I will not. It just happened.
Yeah. I think what we also don't appreciate, and coming back to your point, you know, we've done certain things in our life today as women, you know, you graduate, you get married, you, in my case, I moved abroad. But what we don't appreciate and what perhaps we should spotlight a little bit is when a woman goes through pregnancy and gives birth, she is going through the biggest hormonal surge and dip that a person can ever go through in the shortest period of time. And so we have to kind of pause and say, for some women, in my case, that surge and dip affected me And it affected me because I was not prepared for it. So while you read all the books about pregnancy and birth and hypnobirthing, but no one prepares you for that dip, which I experienced. And I think it's like when your milk comes in and then you kind of, I was very teary. And then I look in the mirror and I'm like, okay, so now, you know, postpartum, you're not looking great. You know, if you're breastfeeding, your boobs are leaking. If you're not breastfeeding, you're still wearing these granny pants because you've been bleeding for I don't know how long. So you're not looking your best. You don't recognize that person in the mirror. And then on top of that, there's the hormones. How impactful should, you know, how much importance should be or spotlight should we give on that change?
Yeah, I think we don't speak about it. I think we somehow there is also the expectation that, you know, you gave birth, you have a healthy, beautiful baby. You should be fine. You're fine. But it's like something I keep saying to also women around is like, you can have a perfectly healthy, beautiful baby and you're not okay. They can coexist. They can live together. Because somehow it's like, you know, it's almost a woman has no right to feel down or to feel teary or to feel emotional or to feel her baby blues or depressed or anxious if she has a perfectly healthy baby. It's not reality.
This was something coincidentally on the She Word. And actually, I think it was the interviewer back then. So pre-She Word, for those of you guys who have been around, Trudy had the pre-She Word, it was called the interviewer, right? And I used to do a couple of episodes with her. And in the meantime, I got pregnant. And then she's like, no, we'll do a postpartum one. And we did. And I had an emergency C-section, which I didn't deal with very well. Now, 3 years on, I don't really care how this kid came into the world. But back then, because of hormones and because everything is heightened, I took it very badly. And anyway, on the episode, I was telling her about this. I was telling my friend with a camera, but ultimately Trudy and I are good friends. And I was saying her, you know, I felt like a failure at that moment in time. And this little snippet of I was a failure was put on social media, not by She Word, by another,
platform.
A platform, yes. Let's go with that. And the comments were extremely negative. Extremely negative. Failure, you're a failure, you've got a healthy baby, and you should be looking at, you should be thanking God that, you think I didn't thank God?
Yes.
That, so yes, they can very much coexist, and I had a very healthy kid, and all went well, thank God, but there is a version of you post-birth, and there is a version of you once everything, once the dust settles, you know, and you're like, Allah, my well, you know, and sometimes, you forget. I don't know if it happens to you, but someone would have just had a baby. One of my work wife actually just had her baby and she says something and I go, oh, I forgot that. And then I remember and I go, yes. And sometimes she's upset about something that I don't understand, but I have to put myself in her shoes that to her at that moment, And sometimes I would back then, 3 years ago, I would feel it and I would go, these people forgot what it was like when they had their had their babies and how everything feels and until you come out of it. Yeah. There's this like loop that you have to, this hurdle that you jump. And once you've jumped, you're like, okay.
She's back.
All right. She went nowhere, Nerissa. And I genuinely make the conscious effort to retain certain memories I have of that time to be able to understand and and sympathize and empathize with new moms who, my God, you're so bloody lost, eh? And 3 years in, I'm still lost. So, but you do forget. You do forget, Estra.
So in that moment, I'm just going to pick on you on this.
Please do.
In those like 3 months when you've said you feel lost, was it because you were, you know, you were trying to find out who you were as a mother? Or was it just because this was, you know, someone said, hello, this is a newborn baby.
Listen,
you need to keep him alive.
What defines the self? You introduced me as Tez with all of these 100 factors that goes into her. And because she has 101 factors, this Tez that you introduced, I made sure that, for example, so as after a C-section, you can't drive for 6 weeks. So I didn't cancel any of my weddings. So the last, I had because I thought I was going to have a normal birth, you know, right? And I didn't want to cancel any of them. There is a point to this story, I said. I made sure that even though the last 2 weeks I couldn't drive, I got a lift and I went. I didn't cancel the weddings. Why? You tell me you're lost? No, but in those 2 hours when I was singing, there she is. I found her again. And then I go back home and I'm lost in the sense of I couldn't figure out, okay, I breastfed from the left boob. Now what? It's the right boob and did he drink enough? It's this. It's this unknown. It's until you get, 3 weeks in, 4 weeks in, you're like, okay, I get it now. That is the loss. But for example, little things, I would be home and I'd be like, okay, I need to go for a walk. And in reality, this kid is crying. More often than not, people could see Azara. She went for a walk because she put the baby to, she wants to calm the baby down. No, man. I needed some air.
Keep your self-care journey on track in just a few clicks with Myoka Spas. Whether for a moment of disconnection, a complete body-mind reset, or a bonding time together, book online stress-free at myoka.com or use the new Myoka app. Complimentary spa facilities on every visit.
So I went out. I think it's a shift in perspective.
Yeah.
You guys were mentioning because I stayed home and I was work and I didn't work for 3 months. You, as the person who works, Donna, the worker, is only a factor of Donna. For example, little things. I enjoy cooking. I really love it. And even now I work full time, my husband as well. But as soon as he comes home, I put my AirPods in. I know he's going to take over with Ben, do bath time, etc. And I have that 1 hour when I'm cooking, I'm listening to a podcast. And that to me is where she comes alive again. They're little things, that you have to identify, in my opinion anyway, what makes you you? Yeah. If it's going to work, it's going to work. That's not only her. She's also the friend who texts a friend and goes, hey, just checking in, all okay? She's alive again.
But
she
had the awareness to do it.
Yeah. Did I though? No one opened my eyes, Don. I just looked at a lot of people lose their color and go gray. And I'm like, I worked too hard for this girl to go gray. She's not going gray.
You talk about losing your color, and you probably know about the flamingo thingy. Mm-hmm. That when flamingos have kids, they lose their pink.
That was honestly not where I was going.
So
but
when flamingos have kids, they lose their pink. And actually, that's kind of a hope story for moms who feel like they're in that kind of in the trenches. And they do regain their pink once their babies, I don't know what mini flamingos are called, apologies.
Flamenginas.
When they grow older, they get their pink back. And it's almost to say to mothers as well, you will get your pink back. But I wonder, you know, you said it spot on. You worked so damn hard for this Tezara to be where she is today that she's not going to lose that.
That does not mean I'm on any kind of pedestal.
No,
just me as a person, I'm saying. So that's what I mean.
For sure. But I take it back to this, you know, this feeling of the loss of identity. If we feel it more now, because so let's say maybe not our parents, but our parents' parents were mainly stay-at-home moms. Once they had kids, their life was that. They devoted their life to their kids. And today things are different.
Did they though?
Sometimes I wonder as well, in the sense that this is what they did, what everybody did. But, you know, it's a taboo nowadays to talk about it. God knows how it was back then. I don't know. I wonder.
If she decided to stay home, because we think of, okay, someone who decides not to go back to work as someone who has devoted entirely themselves to their children. Is it what it is, though? Is that what she is? Is that all a person is? Are they defined by the job that they do? And the fact that they don't go to work from 9 to 5, does that mean they've put a pin in that version of themselves? No. You are Nerissa. You're someone's daughter. You're someone's sister, I think. I don't know if you have
a link. Yes, true.
There are many factors to you.
Yes.
So when in reality you're saying a loss of identity, okay. I you know what I think it is? Forget the mom shift. How well do you know yourself prior to becoming a mom, possibly? Mm-hmm, prior to the major change. Mm-hmm. What are the things that make you you? And if you have your sense of self so in bold that, okay, you've become a mom. And yes, maybe you're going to put the work part of you on pause because that's a decision you took. What about all the other things? That doesn't make, those don't go away. That's still you.
What if we're talking about, and because this resonated with me, rather than a change in identity, because what I felt I lost was my loss of autonomy. When I became a wife, I could still go to the gym when I want. I could still go to work when I want. I could still sleep when I want. I could still go to dinner with whoever I wanted. When I graduated, same. When I became a mom for a short period of time, and, you know, I used to breastfeed on demand, whatever, sleep deprivation, I lost so much of my freedom to do things.
Didn't you lose that when you got a full-time job? Could you go to the gym when you wanted? No, because you had to clock in at a certain time.
For sure, but...
Could you go out with your friends every night once you got married? Not because your husband was... I'm sorry, I'm being a bassa, but I warned you, Nerissa. I called Nerissa and I told her, if you want me on this show, I'm going to pick at it. And here I am picking at it.
Yes.
Please intervene and shut me up whenever you want. But you can argue that with everything.
Can you though?
Yes,
because
you can.
Because a job is a 40-hour per
week. Can I decide to go to the gym at 11 o'clock?
If you
I need to take time off.
Yes.
If I want to go to the gym at 11, I need to call my husband and tell him, babe, any chance you take time off? No, I'm sorry, babe, I can't. Okay, then I've shifted. And if I want to be somewhere at 11 and my leave doesn't get approved... My autonomy is not there anyway.
Somehow that is, I get what she means. And first of all, I think in reality for most women, it's not like that. I think it's more common that women feel this loss of autonomy. It's like somehow when you're working for somebody, have a full-time job, somehow you get used to that for 15, 20 years. When you become a mom, somehow overnight, you're giving 24/7. The shift... I for me, they're not the same in terms of shifts and transitions. I see them, they're different. If I have...
Saying work versus,
yes,
versus having
a... Yes, if I want to, you know, go cut my hair, I can take 2 hours off work and I go cut my hair. Now I take her with me, she climbs on my head. It's not the same.
But for me, if you wanted it to, you could. You could book 2 hours of... babysitting.
It's harder. Then it comes into this, you know, to move, I have to actually get help. It's like I can't just walk out the door.
Yes.
I think that is, for me was a sticking point.
That is not to say that I can do what...
Ole, ole.
No. Huh? I get where you're coming from. I'm just, and I'm going to pick back at you.
Because bring Donna back in.
Yes,
because
and I will. I'm about to bring her back in because what I'm about to say is... The job, and now Donna's career is a big part of who she is, but you, and it's because you're your own boss, but you can still pause and decide, this is my time, this is when I'm not going to work. When you are a full-time mom, like Maria said, you need external help to make that decision. It doesn't just say, I need to apply to my boss for leave, or if I plan 3 weeks in advance, I can. It's, I now need to get my husband to take time off work. I need to
There's
pay a babysitter.
Planning.
There's planning.
There's a lot of planning. With every move, you have to plan, as you're saying, Maria. But I think it's not that really bugs us or affects us and leads us to this loss of identity, as we're saying. It's more us not giving ourselves the permission to do the things we love, to pause being a mom for, I don't know, a couple of hours a day and just be us.
Yeah.
Because of the way society has been working.
Yes,
It's not our fault. It's not our partner's fault. Like if I think of my partner, he goes, he does, he has his hobbies. He has absolutely no problem telling me, oh, I have to go. I booked swimming, for example. Is it okay for you? Of course, like as he should.
Mm-hmm.
But I still to this day hesitate a bit. I'm like, okay, because I'm needed there, then I have to sort of, because most of the responsibilities somehow automatically still fall on the mom in most households.
You again, Tez. How important then would you say is the support of your partner in keeping your identity?
No, rather than
can I
pause that slightly? One time I was watching Michelle Obama in an interview, and someone questioned her, like, is it 50-50 with you and Barack? And she's like, no way, it's not 50-50, to which I was going to think she's going to be like, I'm 100% and he's 0, or I'm 90 and he's 10. You know what she said? And it honestly resonated 100%. She's like, it's not 50-50. Sometimes it's 70-30. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's 20-80. Sometimes he picks up the 80 and I pick up the 20. And you wouldn't expect that, you know, because he was the president of the United States and all of this. Not that I imagine Trump doing any of this. That's a story for another day. And it is really true. Issa, this 80-20 or this 50-50 or 70-30, whatever it is a constant in my household. Why? So it is... Why? Because we really identify, Dave and I, prior to kids. We've been together 11 years. We've been married for 6 of them. And a lot of the time, friends of ours, family, can't understand our dynamic. We have always been David and Tez, and then David and Tez. So by no means do I want to give the impression that I have this perfect life, a perfect husband. I love you, Dave, but you're not perfect. But what I mean is, this 70-80, this keeps me alive, keeps Dave alive, keeps... And they're not just hobbies. They're not just... These hobbies become you. Mm-hmm. They are the factors, little things. Even if you want to just roam around a shop and do it bilkwit without having someone... Nice. You know what I mean? You want to go to the hairdresser. It's little things like that. That is where the 70-30 comes into it. In doing so, obviously, because you're picking up the slack... Your partner gets to keep that version of himself alive.
Yeah.
Out of milk, bread's gone, and the kids are hungry? Don't stress. There's a Dave's just around the corner. Open 24/7. Or skip the trip. Just tap the Dave's app. Tap, tap, tayyep. They'll deliver straight to your door. No minimum order, speedy delivery, and fresh fruit packed with care. Dave's cares about you.
And vice versa. When I pick up the slack... when he picks up mine, I go and I am Tez this 2.0, you know?
Fill your cup.
Yes.
Yes, yes. And I think this is very important. The buzzword is self-care. I don't really like the word. It's like, but yes, as Tez said, it's like, it's very important for women who to find some space for themselves, to find that hour too, to have a coffee bill quit, for example, to just read a book, to go to the gym. I mean, it cannot be 24/7. But I think these little pockets of, I call them like outlets of creativity, of just being me, it doesn't have to be much, I think are so important. And I believe that it could be like in these moments where a woman, a mother, finds herself. I see them as a contributing factor to finding oneself.
Donna, did you, you know, after those 3 years... Or in those 3 years that you were a stay-at-home mom with the kids all the time, did you manage to find time for yourself? Did you have the support, maybe of your partner, maybe of your mother, maybe of your other family members or external help who could relieve you? And if not, do you think that would have helped in you not kind of feeling like you lost yourself?
Like I said before, I really didn't feel... the necessity of getting support. Looking back, of course, I did need support. Hell did I need support. But along those 3 years, then I started slowly maturing, realizing, okay, I'm not feeling like I'm being more useful than, you know, entertaining these girls, keeping them alive. I loved it. I loved spending time with them. But then I felt like I needed more. Sometimes I felt quite guilty at feeling that I needed more, that there had to be more to this life of to this motherhood. And I did start to explore different outlets. I tried to be creative in different ways, learn new things. And that is where slowly I, you know, developed even the concept behind my current business as well, back then, and throughout those 3 years. But that really helped me slowly build up myself, because I really don't think I was confident within myself before becoming a mother. Hence why I couldn't look at it from your lens.
of, okay,
but I'm giving you the impression I was confident going into motherhood. For whom I wasn't. There is very much a case of I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
No, but you appreciated how far you'd come as is. I didn't back then. Like I said, I was very, very mature, very uncertain, very, you know, I wasn't confident at all. And it was throughout those 3 years that I sort of shaped, that they really shaped who I am now.
So
within the negativity, I guess, I managed to come across the other
side.
Listen,
but this is completely okay.
It's just a different journey.
A friend of mine and I were pregnant at the exact same time, and her goal and her she feels completely, her cup is full to the brim after becoming a mom. She's ticked all her book, and that is completely fine.
Absolutely.
Do I relate to it? No. But there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And let me make it clear, my son filled my cup also. He didn't fill it to the brim, and I think that's also okay. But it's completely okay that your journey as a mother gave you this sense of self, and I don't relate to it.
Yeah.
But it's completely fine, and each to their own, and I don't want to give the impression that I'm somehow negating
Absolutely.
That.
I think whatever fills your cup, like we said, if staying at home, mom, is your life goal, and that's what fulfills you. Absolutely. I admire those women, because I don't think I could do that. Equally, I could not be an open heart surgeon. Same thing. Different skills, you know, horses
can be
for
the
Grey's
Anatomy version of that.
but what I'm coming to is, I felt, and I think most moms feel, that we have now been brought up, you know, you're a girl, you can do whatever you want, you go for it, you achieve, you become a career woman, you build your business, you're independent, you make your own money. And then once motherhood hits, there's this still societal pressure that you are now a mom, and that is your main role. Yeah. And I think for me, okay, but I don't know this role, and I don't know what to do at home every day, looking after a baby, trying to keep it alive, and let's be honest.
Didn't you feel like that when you started your job? When you started your job, did you know how to do it instantly? I graduated. I'm a teacher, so by profession, and I graduated in that line of work. But then when I started working, it's not at all the same thing.
Fair, but I feel like keeping a human alive has a little bit more pressure than a 9-to-5 job. I mean, if someone graduated as a surgeon, probably their first surgery felt the same. But to me, I felt this massive, big responsibility. I need to bring this child up. I need to bring him, you know, up well. I need to make sure I'm disciplined, but kind and firm, and pass on these values. I felt like all this societal pressure on me.
And your partner is doing it with you. It's not on you.
It doesn't start out as an equal.
I gave him no choice.
Yes, you're saying that. But starting off from maternity leave and paternity leave, we don't start on a level playing ground.
True.
So automatically you feel, okay, I have 14 weeks. Nice. Like, what am I meant to do? You know, be a mom. Like, this is my main job now. My partner goes back to work. He's the breadwinner.
You can't be a mom and be someone else at the same time.
Yes, of course. But it's what society is just putting.
Tell society to
on
fuck
us.
Off.
Yes. And that comes from experience, from maturity, which not everyone has starting
the
off
way
with.
I see it without wanting to. It's like, so I'm primarily a stay-at-home mom, and I work around that. I'm at home most of the time with my daughter. I feel that, of course, I would like to enhance my practice and grow and move on. But because of this choice to stay at home, that will have to wait a bit. Mm-hmm. Is it hard? Yes. I feel that us women can have it all. I don't feel indifferent to, in terms of potential, any different to a man but just not all at the same time. So at this time in my life, because I chose to prioritize my time at home, I cannot do what I want. Like, and take my practice wherever I want. It will have to wait a bit. Still hard, but it's a choice. So I don't think we can have it all at the same time.
But you know what you did this afternoon? You took 2 hours away from your kids and you came and you had a conversation with us. So that's only one section of yourself that you have paused slightly. The rest of you has still kept going.
Very, very important, because what I feel and see sometimes that women can tend to go on the other end of the spectrum. So now I'm a mom and that's it. But you are also a wife, and the relationship with the partner is very important. You are also a daughter. You are also a friend. And suddenly all these roles just cease to exist. And that can come with implications and with a lot of hardship as well, with isolation and psychosis. Almost, I don't have a right to go meet a friend for a coffee. Of course you do.
This is a bit like you were feeling.
We don't give the permission
to
ourselves to do it. We're our biggest hurdle most of the time.
For sure. I agree. I think that the only reason we change is because we want to change. Like Tez said, she was like, I was adamant. You know, I'm bringing the old Tezara into motherhood with me. Tezara's going to change as a result of motherhood. She also changed as a result of working as a teacher. She also changed as a result of being a wife, you know. And so that journey to motherhood came with it. I just felt out of all of the milestones, the motherhood one was the one that, and potentially because it had more than one change.
Yeah, same rather. For
so
me.
Psychological, automatically, you know, the mama bear instinct kicks in. Physical, I mean, let's stop there. For some people, changes in their physical body, when they look in the mirror, will cause them to see a change in their identity. Did any of you feel that change as a result of potential physical changes?
I mean, I didn't like the woman I saw in the mirror. I think it did, yes, contribute to my, like, questioning my identity. But also it gave me, like, a purpose to focus on it. And I think in getting my... not physique. In getting my becoming, I had 2 C-sections. So first was an emergency. So you feel so vulnerable. So, and by starting also to train also on a physical level, you start to feel stronger and stronger. And with becoming stronger, you also feel psychologically stronger as well. No, less vulnerable, stronger. So for me, that was another journey.
But a positive one.
Yes, yes.
It really
yes.
motivated you.
Yes.
Good for you.
Donna. You've had three pregnancies,
yes.
But 4 children, and at different times in your life. So you said you were quite young with the twins, and then some time passed before you had your other 2 children. Did physical changes to your body contribute to how you felt as Donna?
Weirdly enough, throughout my pregnancy and postpartum, I was perhaps the most body confident I've been in
Me
my
too.
Entire life.
I relate to that 100%.
I used to miss my bump so much after giving birth.
The only time I felt beautiful.
It's really
no.
strange.
I would be a surrogate in a heartbeat.
Amazing.
I don't want more kids, but I would love to be pregnant again. Love to be pregnant again.
So you felt... very like empowered in your pregnant body.
I really did. I really, really relate to you. Oh, hey, there's one thing we agree on.
Did you find and I'm going to go back to what Tez said, because this could have been also as a result of marriage, a change in your priorities when you had kids. Because for example, I remember the first time I walked back into the office after maternity leave. I used to live at the office. I used to be there sometimes at 7:30, then be there till like 6:30, then have a drink after work. Pretty much a lot of my life revolved around my work. And then when I walked into the office after maternity leave, I was like, you know, nothing I did here compares to like what I do at home. With nothing is as
your
meaningful.
Sense of satisfaction was at home then, not at work. You're saying, is that I misunderstand
and
you?
Similar, but also like I don't know, just how much I fit in there anymore, and that's what was the change.
I changed the job, so I didn't go back. I changed school completely, and with that I changed job, because I used to work in primary, then I moved to secondary, so ultimately it was a change in job. And Ben was only 4 months old when I applied, and 6 months when I then changed. that was a massive change. So I remember deciding, should I? Because what worried me was that I left, they know me pregnant, and now another school is going to meet Mom Tez. Mm-hmm. And they don't know me, and I don't know me. So everything was new. It was a very, very strange October going into a new school, working with the responsibility of... Whereas with my other school, they knew me. So I felt like, okay, if I need to leave because Ben is unwell, it's okay because they know me. This was a new school, so I can't leave a bad impression, you know? Mm-hmm. You're on probation, etc. Mm-hmm. But it is what it is. I mean, it was a decision I took for Ben. I changed school for Ben. He will always be my number one priority. Despite all I have said.
Yes.
The second we could be filming, if my phone goes off, I'm gone.
Yes.
I go, ciao, Ner. My kid needs me. Let me make that very clear.
Yes.
So the full-time job of a mom never really ends. He's just, okay, he's there. He's there. He's just there at the back of your mind, but he's always there. And the decisions you take are always with your kid, in my case anyway, are always with Ben in mind. Even if I ever decide to recently, like I was saying, tai, do something different. Until Ben is old enough, yeah, I'm not going to do anything. And I literally changed my job to get him where I wanted him to be. So it was... They are sacrifices. I'm very glad I did it in the long run, but I don't know if I answered your question.
Yes, and it's almost you're saying your priorities have just, your life purpose has shifted since becoming...
But it wasn't, even retrospectively, if I had to see, for example, I debated whether I wanted to be a teacher or a midwife, and I knew I wanted to be a mom at some point, and I knew being a teacher, the hours would be a little bit more catered towards having a child, etc., you know? But then I also know that the evening is also free, and that means that gives me time to do theater. Whereas if I worked in a hospital, I don't get that. So they were things that when I kind of looked ahead, okay, what do I want to do? What are things that are important to me? Theater was always important. Being a mom eventually was always something I wanted. And so I kind of made certain decisions to support it.
It's so beautiful because to me it shows that everything you worked for in life, at the back of your mind, there was always this purpose.
Yeah, I suppose.
And what I loved most about what you said, and I will take this with me, and I think this is the advice I would give any mom to be, is take you with you on the motherhood journey. That is so true. I'm just going to...
Who else do you take if not her?
Yes.
Who you take. Yes. She is there. There is no before and after. There is no she was and now she is and she's back. And there's none of this. She's there. She's with all the little bits and pieces, the ups, the downs. She
changes.
Yes.
She is reborn.
But she would change if she got married. She would change if her sister passes away and how she deals with loss. No, I disagree.
Yeah, we can.
Because it's an innate change, right? Yes, so for example, how did you change emotionally after having children? Do you cry more, for example, than you did before? Do you feel more empathic than you did before, Donna?
I think I cry a bit more since I had kids. But...
Yes, I think I feel the weight, the responsibility of someone watching me all the time.
Like you have to be a role model.
Like everything I do has repercussions, not just on me, on my daughters. And they're looking at me, walking through life, through its ups and downs, through all the mistakes that I make. And of course they're just absorbing it constantly. So I really feel that
pressure.
That is a big responsibility.
Mm. Yeah.
Can I just say, I didn't want to say, as in there are people with different experiences. So it doesn't mean that your experience is, because it's different, it's stronger. And absolutely not. It's like, as Nerissa said, it's very refreshing to hear someone who says, you know, I almost, you know, continued doing what I was doing differently, but it was okay for me, as in I managed. You know, so I think that's very beautiful to hear as well.
Yeah. One last question. A woman goes through a lot of changes when becoming a mom, but let's not focus on losing yourself, but let's focus on growing yourself, right? Can we put it like that?
Yeah.
But So we've spoke about, you know, changing when you become a mom, feeling differently. But let's be honest, when you become a mom, you learn how to do things you never could do before. You become a better person in some areas. You become a little bit more screwed up in other areas. But if I had to say to you, what is the best change you've seen in yourself since becoming a mom? Let's not focus on just losing your identity. Yeah. What is the best thing that you've said since becoming a mom? I'm, you know, more badass, or what's the best thing?
Yeah, I think I first of all, I love more than I could have ever known I could love. Ooh. So the depth of, it's a depth of love I have never experienced in my life. That, I forgot the other one, but that's the most important.
I learned how to manage my time very well. Now, when you're juggling, this any performer will tell you this, when you're working full time and you're doing theater, which is like two full-time jobs if you're in a production, you learn how to manage your time. And I think I really learned that that was like all practice for when I became a mom, because it's very, everything like fixes into each other and I'm picking him up at this time and this and then this and then this and everything is like, I mean, you, I have the one. Can you imagine this woman here managing four?
Yeah.
But I think I'm quite at time management.
That's true. Donna.
I think what I realized and what I keep, you know, coming to terms with is how often we can reinvent ourselves and understand ourselves even deeper with each and every experience. But as a mom, I guess, just because I am very much aware that whatever I do has repercussions, I sort of focus a bit more on understanding the whys and where I'm coming from and, you know, understanding a little bit more of the depth as to my behavior and what I do next.
Yeah, your actions. Just, you know, you're being watched. Well, I'm going to close off the show. And I always close off the show, the She Word Mums. So Tez wouldn't have, well, if she's seen the other episodes, she will have seen the questions, is since becoming a mum, what is the best piece of advice you have received, or what is one piece of advice you've learned along the way which you could give to a new mum, and what's the worst advice you've ever received?
Should we start with the worst? Go. We end on a positive. No, I have to think.
Okay. I thought you knew.
The worst, I think, is like the expectation I said before. So it's like, you have a healthy baby. You're not okay. How can it be? That is the worst thing ever. And I think the best, I think it's like, it's somehow it's like okay to make time for yourself, okay to for you to grow even at this phase in life.
Mm.
Yeah.
Tez?
I think the negative, the worst one would be the people that tell you you can't. Forget going to the gym, forget doing productions, forget meeting, forget. If these are the people you are surrounded by, you either need to tell them politely, listen, it's okay, it didn't work out for you, but let's encourage rather than discourage, okay? Yeah. You might not be able to go to the gym 5 times a week, and if you want to, you can. But you might need to compromise on going 3, and that's okay. Because there will be a slight change. You might have to have a slight, but let's not go straight to the negative and discourage young parents, men and women, because I hear this from my guy friends as well, kind of petrified going into parenthood. Yeah. So let's, in general, not give the...
Yeah.
And something positive, I would say, is very much in line with this. You know, those when you're at a baby shower and you've got those card games and you have to give the advice, I always give this. Don't put all your eggs in one basket, in the sense that don't find your sense of satisfaction, your sense of self, your sense of ek that gives you that full cup in one thing. Find it in little things. I am the way I am because of theater, because my sense of self was so much ingrained in me as a performer that when I wasn't performing, for whatever reason, I didn't get a role or whatever, I couldn't identify who I was. And so I looked for different places that gave me the sense of satisfaction, be it helping a kid at school, listening to a friend, giving her advice, cooking a really nice meal, cooking a turkey I didn't think I could do, acing a show on stage. Find your sense of self, draw your sense of satisfaction from more than one place. If it's if that moment it's parenthood, that's amazing. If it's not that, you can find it somewhere else. Just find different nuggets to give yourself that sense of self.
Love it. Donna.
So the negative piece of advice, I think, potentially, probably always be open to accepting support, to accepting help, to listening to other people's experiences. Don't think you can and you should do it all by yourself.
Yeah.
A positive piece of advice.
She's a walking positive piece of advice, guys. No, she runs a business. She's got four kids.
I keep learning every day, definitely. And this is, I guess, what I would share with any new parent. It's all a learning curve. It doesn't get any better when they're five or six. It just changes. It continues to change, and you continue to learn, and you continue to rewrite all the rules until they're old enough to become possibly parents themselves, I guess.
Even then, I suppose you keep worrying.
Yes.
Thank you very much, ladies. It was a really interesting discussion. I just hope we gave all of the mums who are currently in the trenches or mums to be who are a bit petrified of this transition, the hope that actually there is life after motherhood.
And there's a continuation of life.
Thank you. Well done. Thank you. Oh, that was so good.
Yes.
That was so good.
Oh my God. I'm so sorry.
SheWorders, we are really excited to announce a SheWord promotion with our program partners, Dave's Food Stores. Download the Dave's app, and for the first €50 you spend, you'll receive €5 off when you drop the SheWord Dave promo code at checkout. The app is so easy to use, gives you 24/7 availability, absolutely no minimum order, €3 cash reward for every €33 spent, 24/7 customer service, and delivered right to your door across Malta. Download the app now to start benefiting from the SheWord promotion and all the other great reasons to shop with Dave's.